Are the children going? No? All right. Amen. God is a good God. Hallelujah. Have a look at John 10, verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are God'?" So it's written in the law. The Old Testament is referred to as the law or the Ten Commandments. But when the Bible talks about the law, it's talking about the Old Testament. Sometimes it says the law and the prophets talks about the Old Testament. All right. So Jesus said, "Is it not written in your law?" Talking to the Jews. And what is written in the law? He says, God says you are God. God, it's telling people that, all right? And then he says, if he called them gods to whom the word of God came. Jesus, according to Jesus, the Old Testament, the law is the word of God. All right? The Old Testament is the word of God. Are you okay? All right. And then he said this. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? Now, Jesus said this. The law is the word of God and it was given to you. And then he said, the scriptures, what is the scripture? What's written? The script, what is written will never be broken. See, this word that is written will never be broken. Break it at your peril, laugh at it, kick it around if you want to. Ultimately, the word of God will break you. Because the word of God is our judge. And the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 89, the word of God is settled in heaven forever. Your ancestors had this, they are dead. You'll die, this will still be alive, okay? When your great-great-grandchildren pass away, the Bible says, no dot, that's what's written, dot, no tittle, all right, of what's written will ever pass away. Are you okay? I'm just talking to you. Have a look at 1 Peter 3. Just want to establish some things for your benefit and trust it'll be a blessing to you. 1 Peter 3. The Bible says in the book of Peter, the words of the prophets and the words of the apostles stand as the word of God. So the New Testament is written by apostles. The Old Testament is written by the prophets. The Bible calls that the word of God. So Old Testament, New Testament is the word of God. You don't necessarily have to have a prophetic word to hear from God. All you need to do is read the Bible. Are you okay? That's the word of God. It'll help you. It'll be your guiding light. It'll instruct you. It'll help you to live your life, to build a family that is good and well. Are you okay? Say amen. Hallelujah. Have a look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19 tells you the titles of the Word of God. These are titles that we use to describe the word of God. Hallelujah. So when they are used, you know that it's referring to the scriptures. It's referring to the word of the Lord. It says in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. The law is perfect. Jesus said the law came to you as the word of God, and the law is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. So the law is the word, the testimony is the word, and it says the testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. If you want to be wise, read the Bible, meditate in it day and night, and you shall prosper. You'll be like a tree that is planted by the waters. It'll bear its fruit in season. Its leaves will not wither. Whatever he does will prosper. It has to do with the word of God, the commandment of the Lord, the law of the Lord, the testimony of God. It says the statutes of the Lord. That's the word of God. Are right, they rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Gold. How many people like gold? I do. I don't like buying silver, even though I bought silver, because sometimes my wife wants a silver something. But I love gold. I like it. Many of us pursue that. The Bible says, pursue the commandments, the word, the testimony of the Lord more than gold. Some of you don't even read what's gold. You read everything in the Facebook, but don't read your Bible. If you read your Bible, you'll be a dynamite going somewhere to explode. Are you all right? Your personal problems are personal. Don't make them public on Facebook. Are you stupid? Making them public don't solve your personal problems. But when you read the Bible, it'll solve your personal problems. Are you okay? God is a good God. Amen. Are you all right? Why didn't I give you the scripture in Peter? You go find out and read it. Okay? That's your homework. I can't do everything for you. Amen. Have a look at Hebrews chapter 6. Are you okay? Verse 15. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. That's talking about Abraham. For men indeed swear by the greater. If you swear an oath, you swear by something greater than yourself. That's why when you go to the court, you swear on the Bible, because the Bible is greater than you. Greater than the court, greater than all the courts of the land, any court. So you swear on the scriptures. You give an oath on what is unchanging because it's the word of God. All right? Verse 16, for men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. The oath becomes the end of the dispute. If there's a dispute, somebody swears an oath, that's the end of the matter. Many of us don't know what that means because we change our story according to the weather. Are you okay? I'm getting somewhere. Verse 17. Thus, God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel or his word. So God said something to Abraham, and then God did something to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of what he said, his counsel. Now he said it, and then he added an oath to what he said. Even though what he said is immutable, he still added an oath. So it's the word of God and the oath of God. God actually swore that this is what he wants to do. And because he could not swear by anything higher, he swore by him himself. All right. Let's read. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirm it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Two immutable things, God's word and God's oath. And it says you can actually anchor your hope on that. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Now, have a look at Hebrews chapter 1, and then we'll carry on. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, that's the Old Testament, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through the whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. Why can you sit on the seat that you're sitting on? It's not because the carpenter screws stuff on it. The reason you're sitting on it is because of the word of God. The reason the screws hold the chair is because of the word of God. Everything is held together by the word of his power. If that was not there, your human frame will explode. The reason you are held together in your own physical body is that you are held together by the word of God. Wanga Nui is held together by the word of God. The reason the sea don't overwhelm the land is because of the word of God. You can come this far and no more. If the word of God was not there, everything will explode into smithereens. The word of God. You need to value it more than you value gold. Read it. Meditate in it. It's your life. It's how you walk. The code of conduct of the Christian. But everything is held together. You can blaspheme God. You can be angry at God. You can be angry at the church. But everything's held together by the word of God. If the word of God was not there, you wouldn't even be here. Are you okay? Say amen. We shared this morning, I'll share it with you again. The Bible says God supplies no half. Half. All. Where are your needs met? God supplies all your needs according to his riches, not according to your bank account. It's according to his riches. The moment you realize that, you will not lean on your bank account or lean on your understanding. your lean on the Lord. Everything, all good things and all perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. But God supplies all your needs according to His riches, not according to our income, according to His riches. Where are His riches? In glory. So go to glory. Because in glory, all your needs are met. You say, how can I get there? You're already there, but you don't know that you're there. You are seated in the heavenly places with Christ. You are heirs of the Father and joint heirs with Christ. And you're seated in glory. But if you don't know that, then you'll beg the rest of your life. Are you okay? So go to glory. Put a ladder in Wanganui and lean the ladder unto glory and then climb it. All right? Put it in loose and lean in on heaven and bridge. What did we do today? We took communion. What is that? It's the bridge between earth and heaven. Let your kingdom stay in heaven. Don't even come down here. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in glory in heaven. Amen. Are you okay? Is that help? That's not my message. That's a side sermon. It's a side dish. All right? But I hope it helps you. But we are speaking from 1 Corinthians 12. We are talking on the gifts of the Spirit. I shared something this morning, and I said to the service in the morning, I won't share this with you because there was a particular reason. Now I'm going to share it with you. The people in the first service said, well, it's just the way that we were flowing, okay? But I'll share it with you before you go home. Many times when we read the Bible, we read the scriptures, Corinthians, we like reading Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, because we talk about communion and things, and then we totally skip 1 Corinthians 12. We go to 1 Corinthians 13. We read it at weddings, and we read it when, you know, we read it because we like what it says about love, and it's like a desire that never reaches, because we see a perfect picture of love, but we want to achieve it, and so we read it at weddings. But after the wedding, the guy and the girl that got married fight like cats and dogs. They're envious of one another. They write down each other's faults. When the Bible says love keeps no record of faults, and yet when we fight as couples, we know all the faults and the flaws of our partner. And yet we read that at our wedding. You know what I'm saying? We like to desire it, but it doesn't seem to happen. So we love chapter 13 and we skip chapter 11. We skip chapter 12. We go from 11 to 13. Then we go from 13 to 15 about the resurrection and totally ignore chapter 14. So we skip 12 and 14. Because sometimes we don't like it and we don't understand it. We just take out of the Bible the bits that we like. Are you okay? Now, the chapter 13 talks about the love. It actually talks about the fruit of the Spirit. If you have a look at Galatians chapter 5. I'll share this with the first service next time I preach. I'll share it with you now just because of the way we are flowing right now. There are not nine fruits of the Spirit, even though nine of them are described. There is only one fruit of the Spirit. It's called love. God is love, all right? Now, in chapter 5 of Galatians, The Bible is contrasting the flesh and the spirit. So let's read on. It says, verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Are they here, those things? They are here, aren't they? You read about them, you know, are you all right? You don't only read about them, you see them every day. Okay. Are you okay? Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom. And then it says in verse 22, but the fruit, it's singular. Not the fruits, the fruit. Now, it says the fruit of the Spirit. Now, in most of your translations, Spirit is capitalized. How many have got the word Spirit capitalized? All right. Let me tell you something, and I didn't want to tell the first service because of the word, but let me tell you something, and I want you to behave yourself because I'm going to say something that is against tradition. The Bible is not actually contrasting the fruit of your flesh and the Holy Ghost. It's contrasting the fruit of your flesh and the fruit of your spirit. Rightly dividing the word of truth. It's not contrasting the fruit of your flesh and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God. The Holy Ghost will not even... I mean, are you all right? It's contrasting two things, your flesh and your spirit. And the fruit that it's talking about is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always, is always, will always be love. God is love. But where do you find the fruit of a tree? Where? You find it on the tree. What part of the tree do they hang from? I am the vine, you are the branches. And the fruit hangs from the branch. It's talking about the fruit of your human spirit that is recreated in the image of God. It's not talking about the Holy Ghost. It's talking about the fruit of your human spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then it describes what love does. That's what it says in chapter 13. And it's exactly the same as this. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Expand on it. But let's see what Galatians says. But the fruit of your spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You can't govern that with laws. And it's not subject to laws because it's the fruit. It produces out of who you are. Are you okay? Now I said I'm going to say something against tradition. Because traditionally we say there are nine fruits of the Holy Ghost. You can still do that and preach that. There's nothing wrong with that. But where are the fruits of the Holy Spirit if there are nine? Where are they born? They're born on the branches. And you are the branch. Now, if you read If you read chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, it talks exactly about those same nine things that Galatians is talking about patience and selflessness, long stuff. You know what 1 Corinthians 13 says? Love suffers long suffering, and is kind. So it's suffering and it's kind while it's suffering. You know what our flesh is? We suffer because we can't help it, and we are as mean as the devil while we're suffering. Are you okay? He's gone all quiet in this Presbyterian church. So the fruit is born on the tree. And when you walk around and you bear these fruits of the Spirit, people will gravitate to you. Because the fruit, your fruit, is not necessarily for you. Have you ever seen a tree eating its own fruit? Well, I saw an apple. No, the fruit on the tree is for somebody else. But you bear them. And people can pick. How do people know God? You and me. And the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So you take the fruit and you say, man, God must be real. What are you doing? You know, it's just, we did a little home study group in Christchurch. And these two ladies turned up. They were single parents. And the lady next door, little Maori girl, got about two or three kids. And she was watching her neighbor hanging the washing. That's all she was doing, hanging the washing. You know what? She came over from her neighbor, from her home, and came and knocked on the door. And she said to the girl that was hanging the washing, how come you're so serene? There is something about, all she was doing was hanging the washing. She got saved because she saw somebody hanging the washing. What is that? She saw the fruit of a life, peaceableness. And she desired it. She came over and asked about it. She told her about Jesus. They both got saved and turned up at the Bible study. How are people going to know Jesus Christ is real? Through you. But if you keep on being mean, how are they going to know that he's real? All they say, I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. See, a lot of people know we're supposed to be Christians because we tell them we are Christians. But we don't have the fruit that is born on the branches. Are you all right? So Galatians 5 is contrasting the fruits of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is perfect. And you don't compare the Holy Spirit with the fruit of our flesh. It's talking about our flesh and our spirits. How do you walk in the Spirit? Who walks in the Spirit? The Holy Ghost? No, we do. The Holy Ghost is always the Holy Ghost. But we walk in the Spirit, and when we do, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Am I too loud? No. I'm just trying to emphasize a point, all right? We walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? Well, you walk in love. Love suffers their neighbor no harm. And when you, the Bible's, you know, the Bible says in the book of Romans, if you love your neighbor, you fulfill the law. All the law and the prophets hang on two commandments. Love the Lord, love your neighbor, and then love yourself. So you love yourself third. Lord first, neighbor second, you third. You know what we do? Me first, me second, and me third. God fifth, neighbor seventh. You love the Lord, love your neighbor, then you love yourself. But we love ourselves. We love ourselves. I love ourselves. I love myself. I spend everything on myself. Don't eat the fruit of your own life. You're not supposed to. I don't know. I blessed you. I blessed me. Are you all right? So we are talking from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the gifts of the Spirit. And then we come to the end of chapter 12, and it says this. It says, earnestly desire the best gifts. We talk about the gifts of revelation gifts. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is not discernment. The gift is called discerning of spirits. It's not discerning of demon spirits, it's discerning of spirits. There are three kinds of spirits. We said that last time. They're divine, demonic, and human. Divine, demonic, human. When you were made in the image of God. I was made in the image of God. What is God? God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you are actually made in the image of a spirit. So you are primarily a spirit. You possess a soul, intelligence, and emotions, and your will. And you live in a physical human body. When the body is dead, the spirit still lives on. The gift is called the gift of discerning of spirits. Are you okay? It's not the gift of discernment. It's not the gift of discerning of demons. It's not the gift of discerning faults. Some people think that if the discerning of faults is a gift that everybody has, whether you're saved or not. But if you turn that around and apply that gift to yourself, you will not criticize other people after that. Are you okay? So it says, desire spiritual gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. The more excellent way is the way of love. Now the Bible says this, it's in Psalm 25. All the paths of the Lord are what? How many times do I have to preach that? All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. All the paths of the Lord. All. If there is a path where there's no mercy and truth, it's not God. There are always those two things. All the paths of the Lord. Teach me your ways. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. It's love and truth. The law came by Moses, but mercy and truth came by Jesus Christ. Are you okay? So it says, desire spiritual gifts, but I show you a more excellent way, and the more excellent way to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, it's the way of grace. And it says, you can heal the sick, but if you don't have love, you can have revelation, but if you don't have love, you can have faith to remove mountains, but if you don't have love, are you okay? And then after chapter 13 about love, it comes back to 14 and it says the same thing. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. How do you get spirit? You desire and you love. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. Is this all right? So let's have a look at it at this for 5 minutes and then we can go home. No service tonight. So don't come here tonight. There won't be anybody here but you. All right? No service tonight. Enjoy the long weekend. Go and watch the All Blacks get beaten again by the Wallabies. And pray for our government. You may not agree with the government, but you're not told in the scriptures to agree or disagree. You're told in the scripture to do one thing. Pray for those in authority. That's your assignment. Your assignment is not to criticize the government. Your assignment is to pray for them. Are you okay? So take the personalities out of it. That's the government we've got, like it or not. That's MMP. Now it's our responsibility to pray for those in authority that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. All right? So pray for them. Are you okay? So it says this in chapter 4. We'll come back to the Bible, eh? Pursue love, and sometimes it's hard to love some people, sometimes hard to love some governments, but you're supposed to pray for them, okay? Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, especially. Now, if I wrote that, and if we wrote that, especially if you raise the dead. So, desire spiritual gifts, walk in love, but especially that you raise the dead. Now, especially that you prophesy. All right. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. So when you speak in tongues, you're not talking to a man. The only man you're talking to is his name is Jesus Christ. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. It's the man, Christ Jesus. So if you're talking to a man, you're actually talking to the God-man. But when you speak in tongues, you're not talking to a human being. You're talking to God. All right? For no one understands him, however in the spirit he speaks mysteries. So when you speak in tongues, when you pray in your prayer language, you're praying and speaking mysteries to God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Because sometimes we don't know how to express ourselves to God. The Bible says we don't know what we pray for as we ought. But through the Spirit and groanings that could not be uttered, the Holy Ghost intercedes through us for our benefit. So sometimes when you pray and you're asking God for something, and then you turn around and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I said it in the first service. This is funny. Because sometimes our prayers in English are so selfish. And our own motive is, love me, love me, love me, love God, then forget me, all right? So when you ask God for something, God, give me 4 buses and 2 taxis. 4 shops and a $50 million pocket money. And then you pray in the Holy Ghost and you pray in the Spirit. And you know what the Holy Ghost said? Father, don't listen to that. You're speaking mysteries. You did not know that the mystery is the Holy Ghost prays in the will of God and he knows your motive. He knows that what you're asking will destroy you. So he said, don't do that. Now, if you keep on pestering God, sometimes God will answer your prayer. The answer of the prayer becomes your judgment. Talk to Samson. Get me a Philistine girl. Get me a Philistine girl. Get me a Philistine. Guess what? The Philistine girl gave him his beans. So sometimes when we pray in English and you don't know your own heart, you know the Bible says you don't know your own heart? And then you pray mysteries in God. You pray in the Spirit and the Holy Ghost said, Father, just forget it. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. And so you go, hello? Try praying in the Spirit. It'll be perfect. All right? Because you're talking to God. Somebody may say, what are you saying? I'm not talking to you. Do you understand what I said? No. What are you doing? I'm talking to God. How can he talk to God like that? Read the Bible. Hallelujah. I'm just about to finish. Hallelujah. It says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him." No one understands him. No one understands him. Not even you. But God understands. "However, in the spirit he speaks mystery, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men." The prophecy is for men. The tongues only God can know. But the prophecy is for men for three things: edification, exhortation, and comfort. If your prophecy don't edify, it don't exhort, and don't comfort, don't prophesy. You're supposed to excel to edify the church. Verse 12, and then we finish. "Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel." So excel to edify. If the prophecy does not edify, then the prophecy is not a prophecy. Now, you never tell the church off through a prophetic word. You can only tell the church off through a prophetic word if you are a prophet. If somebody's going to tell the church off, let me do it. I'm your shepherd. But don't prophesy to tell the church off. Prophesy to edify, exhort, and comfort. Goodbye. Hi, church. My name is Libin. We are an Indian couple that come to this church for the last 5 years. My wife was 24 weeks, 5 days pregnant before she had severe contraction, labor pain last Tuesday. She was taken to Whanganui Hospital on last Tuesday night at 10 p.m., and she was airlifted to Wellington Hospital within 1 hour. After a few days of agony, they had to take the baby out through C-section. Yesterday at 11:20 a.m., baby was on ventilator and now on oxygen mask in ICU. Mom doing okay. Due to early labor, there are lots of potential complications. Please pray for us as a church. It gives us strength and courage to overcome this difficult situation. All right, stand to your feet. Let's pray. Let's pray in tongues for a few moments. So pray. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus, that you are the healer. Glory, glory, glory be to God that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we pray for this family. We pray that your hand will be upon them. We pray for baby Joel, that, Lord, your hand will rest upon him. That, Lord, that you will minister to him. Father God, we pray for total restoration. Lord God, we know that Joel was premature. Lord God, you are the author of life. Let your hand rest upon him. We pray for Monisha, that Lord, that you'll give her the strength that is needed, Lord God, after this dilemma. And Father, we pray for Libin and the whole family. And Lord, that they will know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. Bless your name. You're a good God. Hallelujah. We thank you in advance for answered prayer. We bless you today. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. So continue to pray for them. Her name is Monisha. His name is Liban. Baby's name is Joel. So continue to do that, all right? Don't, all right? Just keep the prayer fires going, okay? God bless you. Have a great Sunday.